Did you all have a good Thanksgiving? Did you all eat temperately? Eat your tofurkies? I pray that as this day goes by, you know, sometimes it takes a day for us to be thankful, doesn't it? But yet, as Christians, we ought to be in a Thanksgiving mood every day. I'd like for you to come with me in your Bible this morning to our scripture text in 1 Thessalonians. It's about Thanksgiving. You know, the Bible tells us that we ought always to thank the Lord. I think that's something that we all know, that we all ought to do. But yet this Thanksgiving spirit goes beyond just raising your endorphins. It goes beyond just standing up and praising the Lord in church when there's this Thanksgiving time. It goes beyond just a day, Thanksgiving. Before we read this Bible text, let's bow our heads once more for a word of prayer. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are so thankful for life. Thank you, Lord, for the Sabbath as well. And Father, as we open your word this morning to study, bless us with wisdom and understanding. And most of all, help us to learn the lesson that you want us to learn from these scriptures that we're about to read. May you send the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and our guide, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is where our scripture reading is going to be found. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. The Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In how many things? Everything. The Bible tells us that in everything that happens to us in our life, regardless of age, circumstance, or situation, we ought to give thanks. But there's one thing that I'd like to point out, that we need to be careful in saying in everything that we ought to give thanks. You see, because sometimes in our foolishness, calamity comes upon us that God would not want to be there, but yet it comes because of the decision that we make. But I believe that in out of all the circumstances that have happened to us that are out of our control, let me give you a situation. Job. Was it because of the decisions of Job that calamity came upon him? No. Those situations were out of his control. And it's within this thought that I would like to give you this message this morning. That in every situation that is out of our control, that God allows to come into our lives, we ought to give thanks. And I know that in our lives, there's not one person here that has not been touched with tribulation, trial, sorrow, or such things that would make the heart heavy. But yet the Bible tells us, in everything, give thanks. Now if you just go back two chapters, to just one chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you see, in our scripture reading it says, "For this is the will of God concerning you." Then it says in chapter 4 and verse 3, "This is the will of God, even our what? Sanctification." Now we've looked at this text before. What does sanctification mean again? To be set apart for a holy use. Or really, what this word is used in relation to is holy living. So friends, as we look at giving thanks, somehow giving thanks in every situation has got a large part to deal with our sanctification experience. Or leading a holy life. And so it is a lesson that we need to learn today. And what better time to talk about Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving weekend? But if you were to cast your minds back 1 year, have you been thankful in every situation that God has brought upon you this past year? And if you haven't, can you look back and say, God has led? And even then, if you can't see that, can you still be thankful? Because that is where faith comes in. Sometimes, Lord, I don't know why this situation comes upon me. But you told me, all things work together for what? Good. Even in times of distress, discouragement, disappointments, tribulations and trials, I'm going to thank you. But giving thanks is not something that comes naturally. Not many people wake up and say, Lord, thank you for waking me up. Usually when I was a young kid, we would give thanks. Why? Because we receive what? A gift. And your degree of thankfulness is dependent upon the gift that you receive. Yes? Some people receive a gift and they go, oh, thanks. Others go, wow, thanks. That's exactly what I wanted. Our thankfulness is dependent upon the gift that we receive and the understanding of the knowledge. Number one, sometimes the effort it took to get that gift, the value of the gift, and most of all, its relevance to you. Three things. What it took for that person to give you this gift. For example, that woman that was sitting by Jesus' feet, washing his feet with her hair. And she broke open an alabaster box, and it filled the room with this scent, this perfume. Do you know how much that gift cost? In today's wage, it would cost $32,000. That's an expensive gift. Would you be thankful? You better believe it. So, first, thankfulness is dependent upon your understanding of what it took to get that gift. Secondly, its relevance to you. So, for example, if you're a male and you get a dress, would you be thankful? No. I hope not. So, secondly, your thankfulness is dependent upon its relevance to you. And thirdly, understanding that value of that gift itself. When I was a young kid, I loved Lego. If you were to give me a diamond and Lego, I would have chosen Lego. You see, as little children, we don't understand in terms of gifts its value. You give me Lego, I'll throw it around, break it. Give me a diamond, I'll throw it around and break it. But as we get older, the gift becomes more important. See, friends, what I'm trying to emphasize here is the mind. When it comes to the gift that we receive, we need to understand these three things in order for us to be thankful. Now, my question is, do you understand the gift of Jesus Christ? Do you understand the cost of that gift? Do you understand what it took for that person to give you that gift? And thirdly, do you see its relevance to you? It's very easy to praise the Lord in times of prosperity. But it's in time of trials where this verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, really rings out loud. In everything, give thanks. Why does God allow trials to come our way? I've been recently reading a book by Dr. Samuel Pippin, Patience in the Midst of Trials and Afflictions. What is the purpose of trials? Especially as us as Christians that believe in God, that go through trials, we ought to see the gift that is in there. Come with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm obviously not looking at happy situations because it is always easy to be thankful in such situations. But friends, I want to look at trials this morning and its relevant to us and the gift that presents itself through trials and how we can be thankful when we're going through down situations and low situations in our life. I just came across a quote this morning that I want to share with you before we read this text. It says, our plans fail sometimes, that God's plans for us may succeed. Failures are a part of life sometimes. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Now here's a parallel text that links up with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Count it all joy when you fall into how many types of temptations? Diverse. Many temptations. Now, how can we be happy in temptations? Are you happy when you're tempted? Count it all joy. But the key phrase here is found in verse 3. That first word, what does it say? Knowing. Our mind. You need to realize the purpose. Just as with a gift, when you realize when trials come your way, then you're able to come out with a thankful note. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. If you don't understand that trials are going to work patience, and Revelation 14:12 it says, here is the patience of the saints, that if you want to be part of the last group people, and you're saying, Lord, help me, increase my faith, allow me to be part of the 144,000. God says, okay, I'm going to give you what? Trials. If you don't know that, you're not going to be joyful. So you need to understand your state of mind, what you ask for, and why you're receiving it. But the reason, from this text, the reason why God gives us trials is to develop our patience. Naturally, myself, I'm a very impatient person. Very impatient. I like to be on time, except this morning I wasn't. Things happen. But, generally, I really dislike it when people are late. And when I know that person's late, I'd be late on purpose. But yet, that person's still later. And God is always trying my patience. But without understanding the situation of why this happens, it's easy to get angry. So, since I was the age of 15, I've asked God to give me patience. You know what He did? He gave me trials. But it says, be joyful. Are there examples of this in the Bible? Yes. Let us go to Job chapter 1. Job, if you have not studied this book before, Job chapter 1, this man Job, is an example of the type of people that would live at the end of time. But yet this was the first book ever written. Historians believe, and those of the old times, say that Job was written by Moses while he was in the wilderness after he had fled from Egypt. This record is there for us today. In Job chapter 1, we know that Job was a prosperous man, and that one day, while the sons of men and the sons of God met together, Satan came along. And he brought an accusation before God, saying, does Job fear thee for naught? God, does Job respect you and honor you for nothing? It's because you've blessed him with wealth. You bless him with good health. You bless him with a good family. That is why he's following you. And then God boasts about Job. as he does with many of us here. Satan, do anything you want. And I guarantee you, I will put a wager down, and I'll bet you for this, that he will not curse me to the ground. And so what happens? Job loses his sons, his daughters, loses his cattle, he loses his house. And on top of that, he has sores on his body. You know, Ellen White says that disease is a result of what? The body trying to cleanse itself from within. I mean, sometimes we have disease because of what we did. And so naturally, if you look at Job's circumstance, Job, what do you do? What did you do to displease God? But that wasn't the case. And Job knew. In Job chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 21, Job is speaking here. He says, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away." But note these last few words. What does it say? "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Even in this situation, Job was praising and thanking God. Can you? Just at the start of this year, while I was at my college there in Heartland, visiting, a young boy at age about 10 fell off the back of a truck and he died. He was brain dead upon entering the hospital. How can parents give thanks in times like this? They're still grieving to this day. But yet Job, he lost 10 sons and daughters in one day. How can you give thanks in situations like that? Friends, it is important for us to learn this lesson of thanksgiving. Despite the circumstances and situations that come our way. Let me show you a text in 2 Timothy. How is it important to us today? Why is thanksgiving so relevant to us today? It's easy to thank the Lord in times of prosperity. But how about in times of adversity? What is it that we have to learn? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting with verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days..." Are we living in the last days? You better believe it. "In the last days, what sort of times shall come? Perilous." If you're in danger, can you be rejoicing? Thank you. Someone said yes. We need to learn this lesson, folks. Why? Verse 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents," and then what? "Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." And then verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Unthankful. Unthankful. These people are called hypocrites. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. We're living in this time, friends. If there's ever a time that we need to learn and know how to give thanks in times of peril and trials and tribulations, it is now. Is now. And friends, I don't know what sort of situations that you've been through this past week or this past year. But I want to let you know that whatever comes our way, God has given you strength to bear it. He's given you broader shoulders to carry it. Why? Because He stands by your side. Why? because he's preparing you to be part of the 144,000. In Revelation 14:12, it says, here is the patience of the saints. James tells us that when patience is brought about, it's because of trials. You cannot have patience without trials. And then in Revelation 7, I want to show you this. Revelation chapter 7, speaking of this group of people, the 144,000. Revelation chapter 7 says, starting with verse 14. Let's start with verse 13 to get the context. John is in vision here, and he has been able to see the 144,000. And then this angel directs his attention to the great multitude. But then after that, the angel points him back to this group. And he says in verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? In verse 14, he says, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. As a result, they are called saints, and they have patience. Ellen White tells us to strive to be part of the 144,000. Do you understand what it means by that? When you strive to be part of the 144,000, number one, you start off by praying. Lord, help me. Help me to be part of this group. This group which has patience. But really, what you're asking for is trials. God will give you trials. You better believe it. They're coming. Because friends, if you don't pass a trial in this life, you will never pass a trial that's going to come in the near future. Which Daniel 12:1 says, when Michael shall stand, there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. What you imagine to come in the future, no mind can even imagine it. You cannot even bring forth. I mean, you think about World War I, World War II, you think those are bad? You haven't seen anything yet. When the whole world will be arrayed against you. That time is soon to come. But before that time breaks forth, we need to learn the lesson of patience and thanksgiving in times of trials and adversity. How do we get this? It says this is the will of God concerning you. What is the will of God again? Sanctification and thanksgiving. But how are we sanctified? John 17:17. By the word of God. If there is ever a time that we need to study our Bibles, it is now. Because this book will give us strength to stand the time of trials that has come. I believe it. At the end of the day, the one thing that's going to be the dividing line between those who are real Christians and false are those that study the Bibles and those that didn't. And most of all, that allowed the truth to change their lives. Those that will have patience at the end of time will be those that studied their Bibles and those that didn't. But when it comes to this understanding of thanksgiving, what are those three things that we looked at? Number one, the understanding of that person and that cost that he had to pay to give you the gift. Secondly, the value of the gift. And thirdly, the relevance of the gift to you. In coming back to this issue of thanksgiving, really the third one is what I want to look at. We know the cross of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice and the price that the Godhead had to pay on the cross. But its relevance to you and me. Why did Jesus Christ come, friends? Why? It's all right. You can respond. Why did Jesus Christ come to die on this earth? to save us because He loved us. Save us from what? Sin. So that was a gift that hung on the cross for you and me. But it's never going to be relevant to you and me until we realize its relevance to us. In that He died on the cross for our sins, but if you're not a sinner, you're never going to treasure the gift. We are all the same. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. And that's the reason why Jesus Christ came. Those that love God the most are those that realize the great sacrifice that He paid. And you're never going to realize the sacrifice of Jesus Christ until you realize that you're a sinner. I've preached this before. I've shared this with you before. But in the light of Thanksgiving, this is the one thing that will bring us back to giving thanks to God on a daily basis. Why? Because we realize through and through, no matter how long you've had a sanctified experience, that you never forget that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. In 1 Peter, I want you to go with me there. 1 Peter, chapter 1. And verse 7. As sinners, we need the Savior. But yet it seems that sometimes when we give our life to God, that trials come our way, such as an experience of 9/11 that happened so many years ago, that turns people's hearts and minds back to God, but yet they turn it back to Him in saying, "Why, God?" But in looking at this question, instead of "Why, God?", we should turn it around saying, "What are you trying to teach me, God?" Because in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What is more precious than gold? What is it? It's not faith. It is the trial of your faith. You see, friends, it's not enough to profess faith in Jesus Christ. Because then Satan stands there and says, "See, God, this person right here, they believe in you. You know what? You better let me test them." And God will say, "Satan, do anything you want to them, except take their life. And I guarantee you, he will not curse me or she will not curse me to the ground." And so trials come. And that is what is precious. Why? Because a trying of your faith works what? Patience. We need to understand the blessings of trials, friends. We need to. I know that many of us here would have probably gone through heartache experience. But God knows better. And you need to have faith in Him. That if you are living a holy and sanctified life, that He has the best intentions for you and me. Especially on this Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day was 2 days ago. But especially on this weekend, around this time, Thanksgiving is not about shopping for Christmas. It's not about the sales. It's not about the turkey or tofurkey. It's not about family gathering together. Take this time to reflect on the year that you've had and see whether you can be thankful in every situation and experience that God has given you this past year. Often our plans fail, that God's plan for us may succeed. I want to share with you this little illustration before we close here. You may have heard it before, but it lines up very clearly with what I'm talking about this morning. There was a master who one day cut his thumb off. Whilst he was grieving the loss of his thumb, his servant came up to him and told him, "It's okay, master. In everything, we should what? Give thanks." The master, looking at the servant quite angrily, thought to himself, "How can I give thanks for having my thumb cut off?" Well, the following week, the master went out hunting with his servant. Remembering what the servant had told him the previous week, he was still quite angry with him. And so he threw him into a pit, saying, "Stay here, and I will come back for you later." Thinking in his mind, "Let's see how this servant can give thanks for that." Well, while he was hunting, the master was caught by a tribe of cannibals. Tying him up, they took him off to be sacrificed and eaten. As they were about to sacrifice him, one of the cannibals shouted out, "Stop, stop, stop. We cannot sacrifice him because he's blemished. He's missing his thumb." So they let him go. Being free, he ran back to his servant and exclaimed, "You are correct. In all things, I can give thanks. If I had not chopped off my thumb last week, I would have been sacrificed and eaten by the cannibals today." The servant, having been helped out of the pit by the master, agreed with him, "Yes, in all things we can give thanks. If you had not thrown me into the pit, they would have sacrificed me instead." Funny as it may be, friends, sometimes God gives us little trials now to save us from bigger trials in the future. What are you going through this morning? A trial or tribulation that God has allowed you to experience. Because God is still there. You remember the story of the footprints? When that man looked back, "Lord, in my lowest times, why are there only one set of footprints?" And Jesus answers, "It is in those times that I carried you." Friends, there is coming a time of trial and tribulation such as the world has never seen before and never will see yet again after. Are you ready for that time? Is God making you ready by bringing trials into your life? I pray that on this Thanksgiving weekend and into the following year, that you will realize in the light of prophecy, in the light of the Bible, when trials and tribulations come your way that are out of your control, you can learn to give thanks. Because God sees something in you that is more precious than gold. And He wants to refine that character, that man or woman. So in those last days, when that question is asked, "Who shall be able to stand?" You will. That is my prayer for each and every one of you. That as we go through this life, we can give thanks in how many things? God bless you.